This is a podcast from Seven Church, Bristol.
Thanks for joining us this morning. It's great to be with you. And if you're joining us online as well, you're really welcome. It's great to have you with us. My name's Owen. I'm one of the lead pastors. And it's a real pleasure to be talking this morning. I'm continuing my short series on festivals that are recorded in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. And you'll recognise quite a few of them because they kind of shape our Christian calendar as well. And we're going to be talking today about the Sabbath. We previously talked about the festival of Passover and unleavened bread. And this morning we're going to be talking about the word Sabbath, which in Hebrew is Shabbat. And I don't know, I mean, how you feel about Sabbath. I don't know how you feel about the idea of Sabbath. For some of us, it is like a really important part of our week. For others, we're like, how do we even do that? We've got kids, we've got work, we've got so many things going on in our lives. But Sabbath, in the Hebrew sense, is not just about rest. It's about stopping. And there's something quietly radical about stopping. I'm not talking about collapsing on the sofa when you get home at the end of a long day at work. I'm not talking about scrolling on your phone until your eyes glaze over. But choosing to deliberately stop, and to stop at a time when you feel alive and awake. That's what Sabbath is about in the Hebrew sense. But if you're anything like me, that feels slightly uncomfortable. Because stopping sounds unproductive. It sounds like you're falling behind. It sounds like something you'll get to once everything else is done. The thing is, we live in a world of more. More output, more speed, more connection, more noise, more options, more pressure. Even rest has become something that we optimize. Anyone got a Whoop watch that monitors your sleep? We've turned sleep into performance. And somewhere along the way, we've lost the ability to just be. Sabbath steps right into that and says enough. Not forever, just for now. Enough striving. Enough proving, enough producing. Just stop. Some of us, our hearts are already melting with the idea of it, right? In the Bible, the Sabbath is mentioned first in Genesis 1. God spent 6 days working, creating, forming, speaking, and then on the seventh day, he stops. Not because he's tired, but because his work is complete, is fulfilled. Sabbath is like the final note in a piece of music. Without it, the whole thing just feels incomplete. Later in Leviticus 23, verse 3, Sabbath becomes a command. It says, "There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest. A day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord," it says in Leviticus 23, verse 3. So Sabbath is grounded in two things: creation, and this second thing, which still won't make sense, which is liberation. Because what we read in Leviticus 23 is echoed later in Jewish history in a book called Deuteronomy, which is so called because it's like the second reading of the law. And it was written much later than what we have in Leviticus. It's like a rewriting of Leviticus, if you like. And it says here in Deuteronomy 5, verse 12 to 15, and it talks about Sabbath, and it gives us a context for Sabbath that is very informative. Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15. God says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Can you see the deeper meaning in Sabbath? You see, in Egypt, there was no rest. There was no choice. There was no pause. Your worth as a slave was measured by your output. How many bricks could you make? So when God commands his people to stop for one day a week, he's teaching them to live as free people. Every Sabbath becomes a quiet act of defiance. We are not slaves anymore. Now that's important for us to hear as well, because whilst we may not be slaves in Egypt like the Israelites were, many of us are living under the kind of pressure that feels not that much different. The pressure to perform, the pressure to keep up, the pressure to stay available, to prove our worth. And into that, Sabbath still speaks. See, if we're really honest, most of us don't struggle with laziness. We struggle with relentlessness. We keep going. We push through. We tell ourselves it's just one more email, just one more task, just one more thing to fix. And underneath that, there's often something deeper going on. A fear of not being enough. A fear that if we stop, everything will fall apart. A quiet belief that ties our value to our productivity. And Sabbath confronts all of that. It forces us to face the question, who are we when we're not producing anything? Because on the Sabbath, we don't earn anything. We don't necessarily achieve anything that's measurable. We don't move the needle. We rest. We receive. We exist without needing to justify it. And that can leave us feeling vulnerable. Sabbath is like an act of resistance. It's a resistance against a culture that says that your worth is what you do. It's resistance against the lie that everything depends on you. It's resistance against the constant pull to be available, responsive, and switched on. When we practice Sabbath, we're making a statement, even if it is a quiet one. We're saying that the world will keep turning for a day without me. And that might feel liberating. See, if everything does depend on us, then that can be exhausting. But if it doesn't, if we can step back for a day and trust that things will hold, then we're not carrying the weight that we thought we were. And Sabbath becomes an act of trust. Trust, faith, if you like. Faith that God is at work even when you're not. Faith that your identity is secure even when you're not proving it. Faith that rest is not wasted. But if you're like me, Sabbath sounds great in theory, but it's very different in practice. There are responsibilities. There are deadlines. There are family commitments, things that genuinely need attention. So how do you actually do Sabbath? You're probably like me, already got a list of things you're going to do this afternoon at home. How do you actually do it? Well, if we follow the Israelites' pattern, then we will start with a regular window. The Israelites had this thing about seven. Seven was a number that represented completion, fulfillment. Fullness. It's actually my favourite number. Is it anyone else's favourite number? Number seven, no? All the best Manchester United players have played number seven. Number seven. That's the number I want on my back. But seriously, it's not the reason we called the church Seven, by the way, because that's seven with an R. That's not seven without an R. Although we have toyed with the idea of changing it just to number seven. But it's seven with an R. Seven was very important because it meant fulfillment. It meant completeness. And that's what our hearts strive for, right? We want completeness in our life. We want fulfillment. We want contentment. Another way of saying it is that we all have our own dreams. We all have our own ideals of what our life could be like. And those dreams and those ideas, they are where we feel most at peace, where we feel contented. If life was like that, I would feel at peace. If life was like that, I would feel contented. That's because the Israelites, like we, have a sense of dream and desire and longing. Longing for perfection, longing for fulfillment, longing for something. I'm putting words into your mouth there. There's other words that are already in your heads. What are you longing for? Well, the rhythm of having every seventh day as a Sabbath was a way of tasting that fulfillment ahead of the ultimate fulfillment. It was a way of saying, here's a glimpse of that fulfillment. Here's a taste of that fulfillment. And you can do it on a regular basis. Now, for some of us, putting aside 24 hours for a Sabbath is not going to be feasible at all. Putting 4 hours aside for a Sabbath is not going to be feasible. But there's something about the regularity that is very powerful. You know it's coming round again. As you know, we have triplets in the church where people get together, and I meet with Rick and with Kevin, and we meet usually every 2 weeks. And it's only for an hour, and we give each other the answers to four questions that are the same questions every week or every time we do it. And the regularity of that is so profound. We've done it now for 6 years. Now, we've recently gone 3 or 4 weeks without doing it, but we did it just last Monday. But it was the regularity of it that makes a difference to us. We know it's going to come. And that, therefore, gives us a sense of... For me, it gives me just a freedom, a breathing space. I know it's coming. And that's what a Sabbath's like. It's like you've got it coming, you've got it planned. It's there rhythmically in your life. And of course, it doesn't have to be once a week. It could be once every 3 months. And what I'm talking about here is that time to stop, that time to disengage. And we'll talk more about that in a second. Talking just last week with Rachel and Gordon, and Rachel's this weekend has been hosting a short retreat at a retreat centre that she is a trustee for in Warwickshire. And can we make that available? Can anyone do it? Because we want to make those opportunities available. So next time that happens, we'll get that into the bulletin for you so that you know it's going to happen. But we have our other friends, Jason and Sam Wiley, who run retreats. We've got our friends, Phil and Marion Joyner, who run retreats. There's particularly attractive because it's in a beautiful house just across the River Wye in Wales, and it's beautiful, such a refreshing place to go. And they run retreats regularly. So if you want to go and have a retreat, maybe just for 8 hours, 10 hours, then just get in that regularly, maybe once a year or twice a year. It's the rhythm and the regularity that makes a difference. But we'll come back to that in a second, because once we've got some regularity to having a Sabbath, what do we do? Well, people throughout the ages have done two things. They have abstained and they have engaged. So what I mean by that is this. When you have a Sabbath, do two things. Stop what drains you and engage with something that restores you. Stop what drains you and engage with something that restores you. So stopping what drains you might include work, emails, admin, an endless list of shoulds. The word should in my diary, vocabulary is laced with pain. I hate the word should. Because when someone says I should do it, I always push back with why. And I'm never been a should person. I want to do it because I want to do it. So I want to understand why I need to do it, and then I'll do it because I want to do it. So shoulds always rest heavily on me. Am I the only one that feels like that? Shoulds feel like, no, some of you are like, no, shoulds are great. Some of you are nodding, some of you are shaking your heads. But it's all the shoulds that I want to cut out of my Sabbath. And I might do something that looks like a should, but if I'm doing it because I want to do it, it's a different matter altogether. because it's restorative. So it's not just about tasks, it's also about the mental load, the constant planning, the worrying, the problem solving, which, if we're honest, is much harder. And the reason it's harder is because when we stop, our minds keep going, don't they? We might say that we're stopping, but our minds keep going. And it's really hard to stop. That's why the rhythm is important. So Sabbath is about not trying to solve everything, not trying to figure everything out. It's about letting it be. But the second part is about engaging with what restores us. I don't know about you, but on a beautiful day like today, I wake up and I feel restored instantly. This time of year, I feel restored because it's springtime. And spring is, for me, just like resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus is the greatest story ever told because it speaks to the human desire for restoration, the human desire for renewal. After a long, grey, wet winter with dark nights, the spring feels like so restorative, so renewing. And that's what we're seeking with our Sabbaths. We're seeking to do things that restore us. That's why it's a taste of the future, because the Christian story is all about the resurrection of Christ, which is his resurrection is the first resurrection of all humanity. That's how we understand it from the gospel writers and people like Paul and Peter. Resurrection is the beating heart of the human being. We long to be restored. We long to be resurrected. And so every Sabbath is like a resurrection. Every Sabbath can be like a restoration. And isn't that wonderful? Every week you can have a resurrection experience. But it will look very different from all of us, okay? So the question I want to ask you this morning is, what brings life to you? What restores you? And I'll just tell you what restores me and what I do generally, just because I'm a bit self-indulgent like that. So for me, the weekend is my Sabbath. I work hard all week long. I start work at 8 o'clock in the morning, often finishing at 6, Monday through Friday. I'm working hard, balancing the physio and the church together. I'm going from one thing to the next. So Saturday morning, I'm lying in bed. So Saturday morning, I may emerge between 9 and 10. I will go downstairs. I will actually pop a frozen croissant into the air fryer. Anybody got an air fryer? They're brilliant. They're so good. Just stick a frozen croissant in there. 15 minutes later, you've got a beautiful fresh pastel. And we have one of those kind of coffee pod things, and I have my precious milk frother, and I make myself a latte. And I sit down and I look out, even if it's raining or it's grey, I don't mind sitting on the sofa, and I just enjoy resting, not feeling like the need to get my breakfast down as quickly as possible and get out so I can get to work. Oftentimes on my Sabbath, I will do DIY. I love DIY. It's my creative outlet. So for me, going and fixing something is so restoring. I don't have to do it. I just love doing it. I love doing those sorts of things. So it's so restoring. I might bake a cake because I like eating cake, and Claire doesn't bake very many cakes. Melly does actually. Melly makes cakes, and I make cakes, and we enjoy making cake and eating it. I may go shopping for some clothes, or just go to the supermarket and buy food. That, for me, that's restorative. I'm creating, I like to create food, I like to cook. I might go to the gym. I don't enjoy that as much, but I know it's good for me. Or go for a run, or ride my bike. I might go and play golf with one of my sons, or go and watch a football match. I do stuff by myself. I do stuff with other people. I find all of that very restorative, but I don't do anything because I have to do it. That's what I cut out. I don't do it if I have to do it. If I have to fix that, I don't want to do it on my Sabbath. Sundays, my Sabbath extends into Sundays. I really enjoy gathering together regularly like this with you guys to worship, to pray, and to reflect on the Bible. That rhythm and ritual is so restorative to me. Without this, I'm not sure what I'd be like, to be honest with you. This is so important to me. I've been doing it ever since I was a child. It's such an important part of my restorative rhythm. So what do you do? What do you do on your Sabbath that restores you? Do you come out of your Sabbath feeling restored? Because that's what we're meant to do. Because the Sabbath is meant to be at the start of the week. Sunday is actually, in most people's culture, is the start of the week, not Monday, it's Sunday.
And Sunday is the start of the week, because you start from a place of rest. I'll tell you something else. There's something amazingly communal about the Sabbath as well. Now, the Israelites all celebrated the Sabbath together. It was a command. It was a kind of cultural norm, right? Now, I know we've eroded that to some extent in our society, but here's the thing. I love the quiet of a Sunday morning, at least until about 9 o'clock. Because where I live, it's really quiet. Why? Because everyone's in bed. You know, and the only people that are out are road cyclists. They're trying to get out whilst the roads are quiet. I love the quiet of a Sunday morning because I figure I'm not the only one doing it. If I was resting on a Monday morning, it wouldn't feel restorative because I know that everyone's off to work and I can hear the traffic and I can feel the fact that everyone's going to work, unless they work from home. But you know, there's that sense of kind of like, there's a collectiveness to Sabbath. I don't know about you, but I love the week between Christmas and New Year. Now I know I have worked that week myself as a physiotherapist at the NHS, so I know some people work that, but the majority of people don't work that week between Christmas and New Year. And it's so nice because you see people, like, you go out for walks, don't you, in the countryside, and you see loads of people around. And they're all doing the same thing as you. And it's just so nice that everyone's doing the same thing, resting together. I sometimes feel like that in August as well. There's so many people seem to take holidays in August. And it just feels like there's a downtime. You know, you can't actually get much work done because everyone you're dealing with normally is on holiday as well, right? So those of you that work in offices know that that's the case. So Sabbath is not just a personal reset, it's a collective reset. That's why it's so restorative for us all here to be here today, to do this thing together. And that's important because when whole communities stop together, if no one's working, I know some people are, so forgive me for this, but if no one's working, if no one else is pushing ahead, no one else is getting left behind. And how many know that some of us, worry about getting left behind? If everyone else is working, I'm getting left behind. I can't rest because everyone else is getting ahead of me. Whereas when everyone's resting at the same time, there's an equality in that because your job doesn't define you, your status doesn't elevate you. Everyone is simply resting together. So Sabbath is something that we do on our own, but it's also something we can do together. So how do you do it? Because it's a difficult thing to do. And I want to say, it's a really difficult thing to do in our society at the moment. I don't know if you're like me, but I've got the Guardian app, I've got the Times app, I've got the Telegraph app on my phone. I don't spend lots of money on subscriptions. I try and go for all their cheap deals. But why do I do it? Because to some extent, I'm just following the news constantly. And I don't know if this is anyone else's problem. Maybe it's just me. But the problem I've got is that I care and worry about things that I really shouldn't care and worry about. Yeah, I do way too much thinking about stuff that is completely out of my world. And we live in a world now where, thanks to the media, we hear about everyone's problems. Everyone's trials and tribulations, everyone's issues. And in many ways, of course, that can be a good thing because we can stand in solidarity with people who are suffering and we can help relieve their suffering. So I'm not diminishing that. But folks, I think, for my what it's worth, that our anxiety levels are much higher because of that. We find it much harder to switch off because we're caring about every little detail that the journalists tell us about in the press. It's much harder to switch off now and have a Sabbath because we've got all this information at our fingertips, whether it's on our laptops, or on our desktops, or on our phones. This is why we're struggling to have a Sabbath, because we can't let go of the fact that we know that bombs are raining down on people in the Middle East right now, or that there's still a civil war going on in Sudan that we haven't heard about for a while, but we will do soon. Or do you see what I mean? Look, there's too much going on for us to switch off. We can't dial down our minds, let alone our practice of picking up our phones. So it's hard to have a Sabbath, and you can be forgiven for reaching for your phone out of habit. How many of us do that? I went to the cinema last night. I watched a movie for 2.5 hours without picking my phone up. I was very proud of myself. How many of you watch TV and still look at your phone at the same time? And I wouldn't recommend the film, by the way. It wasn't that good, but you can ask me about that later. I can't say that. But my sense is that I've become addicted to information from my phone, and I can't take a Sabbath because of it. And that is a problem for many of us, isn't it? So we've got to realize that if we start to press into Sabbath, it's going to be really hard to unlearn all those instinctive behaviors that we have. And you know, when I, the toughest retreats I ever had was at St. Vinah's in North Wales, like a 3-day retreat. And we couldn't have access to our phones or our laptops or anything. I mean, it was obviously, we could have just walked out and done that if we wanted to, but to be in the spirit of it, we didn't. It was so hard. And the other hardest one I've ever done was we went to, what's the one in West Wales called? Faldy Brennan, yeah, yeah. I went there for a couple of hours and they said it's a silent retreat. I couldn't speak. That was so hard. So this is not easy to do. I'm not going to pretend it is. And it will go against everything instinctively that you think. But over time, the more we do it, the more something shifts. That we might even look forward to it. That space might even become sacred to us. Not because of what we achieve by doing it, whether it's fasting or being in solitude or something like that, because of what we experience. And what I would hope you'd experience would be peace. Clarity. And presence of Jesus. And here's the surprising part. Sabbath doesn't make us less productive. It actually changes the way you work the rest of the time. Because you work from a place of rest, not exhaustion. You're more focused, you're more present, you're less reactive, because you're not running on empty. But more than that, Sabbath helps reshape your identity. It reminds you that you are not just a worker. You are a person with a soul. You are created more than just for what you do. There's a moment in Mark 2:27 where Jesus says this. The Sabbath was made for the man and the woman, not the man and the woman for the Sabbath. In other words, it's a gift. It's a gift that we often refuse because we just don't trust it. Or we don't think we have time. Or we think we don't need it. But maybe, just maybe, we do. So let's take a moment just to reflect on our own Sabbath practice. And then in a moment, we're going to share the Lord's Supper together. And what I mean by that is this. We're going to have some bread and some wine juice. And we're going to use that to remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But the focus I'd like us to focus on this morning, because we often focus on the death of Jesus, I want you to focus on the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is the promise for all humanity. The resurrection of Jesus is the fulfillment of a longing that we all share, which is for a sense of fulfillment, completeness, contentedness, and peace. And I want you to know that that's what Jesus offers us through his death and resurrection. So as we, in a moment, when we take the opportunity to eat some bread and drink some juice, which represents his blood, and the bread represents his body, be mindful as you eat it and drink it that God's heart for you is to be restored, is to be resurrected and to be renewed. And if you're feeling half dead at the moment, for whatever reason, the good news is that Jesus wants to resurrect you this morning, not just in the future, but right now. And so the resurrection power is available to us to be restored, and often through practical ways like the Sabbath. But this morning, as we eat this bread and this drink this juice, may those physical things be to us the experience of resurrection, so that as we walk out of here today, we might have more life. And that we've just done, this is a Sabbath activity, right? So we might be restored a little bit more because of this. And as Dan said just now, we'd love it for us all to pray for one another. And you may not be up for that because you might have other responsibilities at this moment in time. But certainly Dan, myself, and Shelley, I haven't got one on, but I'm going to offer to pray. So if you'd like us to pray for you, you're very welcome. Or just pray with someone you trust. But we're going to pray. And then I'm going to invite you just to take some bread and some juice. And I think it's over there on your right-hand side. So just queue up and go get some of that. And then we'll wrap up the service. Is that all right? Okay, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you have given us life, and life to the full, through your death and resurrection, Christ Jesus. And this morning, may our practice of the Sabbath here and now, and as we go on through this year, may we be resurrected on a regular basis. May we be restored on a regular basis. And may the power of your resurrection flow through our bodies and our minds in such a way that we don't just benefit from it ourselves, but our families and our friends and our work colleagues and neighbours all benefit from it as well. Holy Spirit, would you move powerfully in our families and friends and on our neighbours? And as we pray for the whole world, may you move powerfully through our world, through every single person. Spirit of God, we know that you are all about the resurrection power. And we choose to live in that place where we experience the resurrection power on a regular basis. So may this bread and this juice be to our bodies a physical symbol and even a physical act that brings life to our bodies and our minds. And we receive your resurrection power. And we know this is the way you want us to live. And we choose to live in that place. Help us to live in that place, we pray. Let us be an encouragement to one another to do that. Thank you, Spirit of God. We bless you. And so may the body and blood of Christ restore our souls in physical, in emotional and psychological ways, as well as spiritual. And may we be restored and resurrected as we share in this together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.